Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. We do this each day at 11 a.m. You can often catch the replay at 3 o'clock. We're on TuneIn. We're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. And we're as a podcast as well. If you missed the live show, the replay, no excuse not to keep up with the very latest and, of course, IU basketball, really IU sports as a whole, but a focus on basketball and Southern Indiana sports also as well. Busy time of year. I said this yesterday for June. Got a lot of storylines out there. And, of course, now we are dead set to the NBA draft with Romeo Langford set, it looks like, to get picked somewhere in the mid to late first round, depending on what projections you look at. Again, it still holds 12 or 13 through about number 18 seem to be the majority of slots that he is listed or projected to go at this point. That's going to update. That's going to fluctuate some between now and next Thursday. We're drawing in really on a week, basically a week and 2 days away from the NBA draft in Brooklyn and New York. But getting close, we'll see if there are any late changes. So far, there have been no reports of Romeo working out for any teams. We know he's out west at the Kobe Bryant facility, the Mamba facility. At least he's been out there for a lot of this time doing workouts and getting ready with what he can. Every picture, everything that we've seen, which has been very, very little, even very little that we've heard. Even some of the guys that I call off of the air to get the latest in what's going on with IU basketball or with Romeo or whatever, they don't know a whole bunch right now, so things are being kept pretty quiet. But everything we have seen still has the wrap on his hand. So we'll see if that changes or comes off between now and the draft, or if there could be any late workouts for some of the teams that really are interested in Romeo Langford when next Thursday comes. But nonetheless, we're getting closer, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know that we'll ever get to go through this again. Me as a radio host, you as a fan, you as a listener, you as a Southern Indiana native, resident, whatever the situation may be, where we have a local kid that gets drafted in the NBA in the first round. There's, you know, been a handful of players from the area over the years get opportunities to play in the NBA. Obviously, our state produces so many every year. It's unbelievable. I really shouldn't say so many every year, but so many in recent years that have made it to the NBA. You know that Indiana is going to continue to be a pipeline not only to college basketball, but to the NBA professional world as well. But it's just not every day that you get the opportunity to have a local player get the chance to get drafted and play the game in the NBA at the highest level. So we'll talk some about that today. And again, we'll continue to do that all the way up through the NBA draft. We're going to plan a couple special things next week leading up to the draft, some in our coverage as well. But we'll do that. And, of course, last night on an NBA note, which we don't talk a lot about on this program, but I really have enjoyed the Toronto Golden State series. I mentioned I thought it could go seven games. I'm not sure that I would place that bet at this point. But, my goodness, a terrific game, a exciting game last night down the stretch that keeps at least the basketball, the pro basketball season extended for a few more days. I think the next game is Thursday. But they have just really been in some great battles, some back-and-forth games. And for NBA basketball, even if you don't watch it the whole season or you don't think they play hard until the fourth quarter or you're just not interested because it's a team from Canada against a team from the West Coast or whatever your take on it is, I understand. I don't watch hardly any NBA basketball during the regular season, including the Pacers. But I think that these finals, this final series has been a good one. And I think no matter if it lasts one more game, if Toronto wins the next game later this week or a couple more games or maybe meets my original prediction of seven games, I think every game is going to be good the rest of the way. Of course, I said I thought the Indiana-Kentucky boys games would be really competitive, and I was surprised in a good way to see Indiana blow those out. So my predictions lately have not been very good. But nonetheless, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I know it'll be a lot of fun. So even if you're not an NBA person, Thursday night, turn it on. I think it's Thursday night. Turn it on for the next game of the NBA Finals. So let's take a look at the guest lineup powered by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as always, I'll start with some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news in our headlines today. Remember Curtis Jones, former IU player that committed or that transferred to Oklahoma State, and then the last time we talked about him on this show, he was transferring again. He now has picked a new college basketball home. Also, Juwan Morgan, we'll talk about him some in a minute, getting a lot of NBA workouts. I don't expect him to get drafted first round, second round, anywhere next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, but he's doing all the right things and he's getting all the right opportunities to maybe get a crack at the NBA. We'll talk about that. Also, Romeo Langford, another really cool video that IU basketball social media put out about him yesterday. It was kind of a summary of his career, showed some of his great highlights at Indiana and some of his own words as well, so we'll talk about that. Also, and a couple other notes coming up here in segment one, our Hoosier headlines. Then later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He joins us from Indianapolis. Actually, he's going to be at the Colts facility getting ready for a press conference coming up right at the 11:30 mark. So he's going to be with us for a shorter time today. Following that, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. There's so many things we can talk about with Mike today coming off of the Indiana All-Star Games and, of course, the Junior Games last week and recruiting and just a lot going on out there to catch up with Mike about, and of course next year's team as well. We'll do that with Mike when he joins us, and then we'll come back later in the show and have a full rundown on the Summer League schedule, which begins today, or I shouldn't say it continues today, the first games at 1:30 today. If you're a basketball junkie and you get some time to step out this afternoon at New Albany High School, games begin at 1:30, a lot of varsity games, some good matchups from really the jump today all the way through 8:30, 9:30 tonight, and later in the day they started Hazelwood as well. Again, varsity games too. So this is a huge day. The next couple days are really the next 2 weeks when it's in New Albany. Some huge days of Summer League play, some really good matchups. Some Carmel's coming next week, Indianapolis North Central's coming down next week, and you've also got a lot of the good local teams that you'd probably be interested in as well. So we'll cover the schedule for that later in the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A few interesting things to get to today. First, I want to start with Curtis Jones, former IU basketball player, transferred to Oklahoma State. When he transferred, he kind of caught Oklahoma State at a real mix-up time and was able to find some time after a year of having to sit out of minutes. And he actually averaged 8.1 points per game last season. So I would think for a guy that left a program, had to sit out, got playing time last year, averaged 8-plus points per game last year, that it must be a pretty good situation. Obviously, I don't know details. I can't claim to follow Oklahoma State or know too much about him. But now, as a graduate transfer, he entered the NCAA transfer portal a few months ago, or at least a month and a half ago, and it came out earlier today from John Rothstein of CBS Sports that he's committed to Penn State. So he's immediately eligible as a Big Ten or as a graduate transfer coming back to the Big Ten Conference, former IU player. He will play against the Hoosiers this season when Penn State and IU hook up. So interesting to see that. I personally hate situations like that where a player that left comes back to the same conference. I just think there's a multitude of reasons that it maybe isn't the best situation for the current program and obviously the former program as well. But clearly, Curtis Jones has done what he needed to do to earn more playing time. He found a situation at Oklahoma State that worked for him. Anybody that can score 8.1 points per game or more in that level of conference is obviously doing some things the right way, and I would expect at Penn State, with where they are at, with who they lost from last year, that he's going to have a chance to come in. He, I'm sure, knows as a graduate transfer that he only wants to go someplace where he can make an impact and be an impact player and continue to at least receive as much or more playing time than what he did and have the opportunity to have the ball in his hands as much or more as he did, averaging the 8 points a game at Oklahoma State. So Curtis Jones is back in the Big Ten Conference. That's going to be a little weird for the upcoming season. Also, Juwan Morgan, I know we get so caught up talking about Romeo in the draft, and there are so many angles to talk about when you think about a local guy with the chance to get drafted in just over a week. But even though it does not look like, I mean, I don't see anybody out there at all projecting Juwan Morgan, I'm sure he even knows this, to not get drafted in the first round, not even to get drafted in the second round. Nobody's projecting that. But I still feel good about his NBA prospectus that at least he gets a chance. And that's always been what we've said about Juwan. We don't know that he can play in the NBA. We know he did some really good things for the IU program, and we'd like to see him get a chance, just an opportunity to play the game at its highest level. And even though he's not being projected in the first or second rounds, he's had a number of NBA workouts with NBA teams, small groups, large groups, getting the chance to play in front of a lot of decision makers. Now, when I say decision makers, obviously no one expects his name to get called a week from this Thursday at the draft. He's not going to be at the green room. He's, you know, may not even be watching the draft. I have no idea. But he's working out with teams for what basically is a free agency process. When the draft is over with, he'll hope to get put on an NBA Summer League team. He'll hope to get added to a preseason camp team after a solid Summer League performance, and from there see if he can work his way onto a final NBA roster for the 19-20 season. And again, clearly he's someone that is in that category of being able to pull that route off to the NBA because of the number of workouts he's getting. He's scheduled to work out today, later on Tuesday, with the Sacramento Kings. I haven't tracked it all, but that's at least the fourth or fifth different team, if not more, that Juwan has worked out for so far leading up to the draft. So I think that's really good news for Juwan. I know a lot of Indiana fans are concerned and curious about what could be next for him and hope that he doesn't have to go overseas, even though overseas there's some great situations and a lot of money to be made. It does look like he's got the ear, the interest from some Indiana from some NBA teams that clearly are taking a look at him for Summer League and for other purposes. It's not to draft him next week. Again, that's not the case. But he is getting out and doing what somebody in his position needs to do, and that is securing workouts with teams and getting a chance to play in front of them, work out in front of them, and we'll see what happens after the draft. That's kind of will be once Romeo gets drafted and where all that shakes out and, you know, what situation he's going into. That's going to be another fun item to follow after next Thursday's draft. Also, speaking of Romeo, IU social media for the basketball team, they blow it out of the water. They do some great stuff. We've talked before about how this can have a great effect on recruiting, a positive effect on recruiting. I got to believe they're right up there with the best of the best in college basketball, or even probably college sports and social media departments. But a great clip with some great music. Almost 2 minutes yesterday of Romeo Langford going through his highlights, some of his big shots, his big plays, the last second lay-in against Wisconsin, the big three against Michigan State, just really a collection of some of his best moments at IU. And intertwined with that is him working out in the weight room. It's kind of focused in on some time with Cliff Marshall and how important the work with him has been getting him ready for the NBA. And even a quote near the end of the video, quote, "I like it here in Bloomington. I feel comfortable. I like the coaching staff. I like my teammates. It just feels like home." And this video, I guess, is kind of focused on not only highlights, but how IU basketball and the staff helped prepare him for the upcoming NBA draft. But really cool. If you haven't seen it, it's a great collection of some of the good memories, I think, that you'll keep with you in your mind of Romeo, some of the big shots, the big plays that he made this season as a Hoosier before he heads off to the NBA. That's a look at the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll do that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back, Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest, and Greg is with me every Tuesday, presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311 in Sellersburg, it's temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Greg, welcome to the show. I think you're joining us from, or either en route to, a Colts press conference with their head coach later today. So we've got an abbreviated chat with you, but nonetheless, great to catch up.
I'm en route, if you consider I'm actually walking the last 80 feet towards the press conference room. I'm outside. It's a beautiful day. So if you hear some birds singing, that's birds, not me.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, my guest. Indiana All-Star Game Saturday night, you were there. I think it's great that you always, for the most part, make the chance to at least get to one of the games and follow what's next for some of these great Indiana high school basketball players, and also keep a close eye on a historic series that I know a lot of us hope continues for years and years to come. I don't really have a specific question. We've recapped the game. We've talked already about Trace Jackson Davis and the IU contingent with Armon Franklin, but I know there was a lot of talent. You were impressed by a lot of things, so I wanted to kind of open it up to you to tell us what you thought Saturday night about Indiana, not only the All-Star team, but Trace and Armon and other players that stood out to you.
Well, one thing, first of all, am I going out on you because you're kind of fading on me?
No, we hear you loud and clear.
Great. Good, that's the way it ought to be. joke. Well, not really, actually, to be heard. A couple thoughts. One is the most beautiful thing that I saw was George McGinnis, the former Hoosier and, of course, Washington state champion. He was there. He was honored. It's the 50th anniversary of his. He had a historic game. There's been a lot of great players in this game from both states. No one's ever done what he did in 69, and I don't have the exact numbers, but in two games, because he put up like 72 points and 50 rebounds in two games. It was just absurd. Yeah. And they honored him, and he's coming off back surgery, and frankly, he lost his wife not too long ago. It's been a rough go, and all the players, and you know how it is with generations, and you stay off my lawn and all this stuff. We tease about the younger people not getting it. They got it. They all got it. And Trace Jackson Davis, sorry, I do it to myself. Trace Jackson Davis, Mr. Cabal, he walks over and stands in line. He's nervous, and I heard him, because I'm over there too to greet George. And he's like, do we get to shake his hand? And talking to somebody, I think it was Jalen Windham from Ben Davis. I don't know. And George sees Trace, sees him, and shouts, Mr. Basketball, come give me a hug. And it was just, I've never written, I didn't write it. And no one saw it but me, I guess. So here you go. There's a story for you. No one knows. But it's a little bitty tiny story, but it's a beautiful little, it was just great.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us. I think also we should probably give a little love to the girls' side. I mentioned that they were successful in overtime on Saturday night to, most importantly, avoid a sweep by Kentucky, who won the game on Friday. But there was a good contingent of stars that are going to play at college, I think will be stars at the women's college basketball level, including a handful of players that I think have big expectations at IU women's basketball, which has kind of really, I guess, turned the corner is a good word, made some momentum over the last couple seasons under Coach Morin.
So exactly, I was going to say that exact phrase. They really have turned the corner, haven't they, at IU? And yeah, there's a bunch of number switches late, and when you get to the game, there's the program, they're giving it all the crowd, and there's also a little small piece of paper typed out. The following number changes happened, and two of them involved the IU recruits, and I don't know if this was a thing or if it just worked out this way, if it was their favorite numbers. I don't know what happened, but Jory Allen is one of them. She's Miss Basketball. She's wearing number one. That didn't change. Shayla Beeler and Hannah Novorowski are the two others going to IU, and by the time the switching was done, they were wearing two and three. So if you're an IU fan, if you're the IU coach, if you watch it on video or whatever, and you see, IU recruits are numbers one, two, and three. It's kind of a show of force, and they were three of the five best players on the Indiana team. And Beeler actually didn't have that great a game, but I know how good she is. And Navrovsky is unstoppable. She's 6'5", and you can't stop her. You just hope she misses. And then Jory Allen's missed basketball. So that's pretty good. You know, Archie's had some good recruiting classes, and I'm not the Romeo one might have been better than this one, I guess. You know, I'm not an expert on the girls' side, how highly rated these girls are, but this might be the best recruiting class the Indiana basketball program, men's and women's, has had in quite a while.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. We don't have a lot of time. I want to talk for a moment about last night's NBA Finals and about the draft if we have time as well. But what a series. I mentioned that, you know, always when we talk a little Pacers or Victor Oladipo with you, we don't talk a lot of NBA. I know we're in the state of Indiana, but I feel like the Pacers are often disconnected from things down here. But with that said, what a finals. What a game last night. Just very interesting to see how this one's playing out.
How about the fact that that was a potential elimination game, and Golden State, not only did they not get eliminated, but now I think we all think they're going to win at home in Game 6, which means Game 7, anything can happen. I mean, the whole series, obviously it shifted last night because otherwise it ends. And yet that was the second biggest story, which is, now had Toronto won, that would have been the biggest story, I think. But Durant getting re-injured, not just didn't pop that calf again, same area of the body, but popped his Achilles, and you have to believe they're related. I mean, you just have to believe that the weakness in the calf, the Achilles didn't have enough support and popped. MR hadn't confirmed it yet, as far as I know, but that's what they think happened. It's just shocking. You know, it's shocking. The guy's been out all finals. It's shocking that he comes back really at all, and that he comes back and scores 11 points in 12 minutes, then pops his Achilles. And the biggest free agent on the market will still be the biggest free agent on the market, I guess. But you know, it takes about 9 months, give or take, and it can go longer, but 9 months, give or take, and which pretty much means he's almost not going to play next year. You know, he might. I mean, I guess he can suit up in February or March or something. But it's brutal. That was a brutal part of the game last night, and pretty impressive that Golden State still won.
Absolutely. One final quick thing, and then you can cut it off when you've got to jump in to the press conference. NBA draft, we're almost a week away. Obviously, the excitement's about Romeo. We've talked lots and lots about it already, but Juwan Morgan, another workout today for another NBA team, this time the Sacramento Kings. I know that nobody expects him to get drafted, but he's doing the right things and getting the right opportunities to still find an NBA home through Summer League and through maybe getting on a camp roster. He's really used this opportunity and had teams ask him to come work out, which is exciting for him.
Yeah, and that's stupid that he's not going to get drafted if that's what happens. He's going to play in the NBA. He's going to play a long time in the NBA. I don't know how good he's going to be. Draymond Green is kind of unique, so it's been Draymond to say, this guy's like Draymond, and he's not. He's not that good. But he's got that sort of, he's knockoff Draymond, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please somebody call me a knockoff Steph Curry as a shooter. I'd take that. So he's really good and a great character. And the great size, can defend a whole bunch of positions, move his feet, can shoot, and has shown he can shoot from distance, and will get better with practice. Has a great form, so you know nothing wrong with it. So, and I got to go inside with that, but that's Juwan Morgan's gonna play in the NBA a long time.
All right, Greg, thanks. Go to work, man. Go to the press conference. We'll talk to you next week. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed and it's warmed up a bit, don't forget you can still get your Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice as well. So a great way to continue to enjoy your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks even as the summer approaches. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays, and a lot of fun when we have him on the program. Coming up still, Mike Pegram of the Pigs.com website is going to join us. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk recruiting. We'll talk things coming out of the All-Star weekend with him. And then later in the program, Summer League basketball starts today at 1:30 at New Albany High School. There are games every hour, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, and so on. The last game tips at 8:30. There are games at Hazelwood later in the day as well. I mean, teams from everywhere across the area, and some good teams coming in later in the league as well, later this week and next week. So if you got a itch for some summer basketball, whether it's this afternoon or this evening, I'll tell you when some of the big local games are. If you want to check out some of the teams when we close the program later in the hour today. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday edition of the program. We always get Mike Pegram of Pigs.com and IU basketball at the forefront when Mike is with us. And coming out of the weekend, Mike, I think we have to start with what looked to be another successful Archie Miller team camp. Actually, there are two sessions this year instead of a full weekend, Saturday and Sunday. There's a Saturday and another Saturday this month when teams can come play on IU's campus as part of Coach Miller's camp. The big storyline out of the camp, in addition to having a lot of in-state teams with in-state prospects that you cover and we talk about from a recruiting standpoint, one of those teams, local to us, Silver Creek, played three games on the Bloomington campus over the weekend. Not only did they find some success playing good competition, but Trey Kaufman, who really is recognized as a great player, not just locally, but in the state and even beyond, received a scholarship offer from Coach Miller and the staff before he left campus on Saturday. Were you surprised by the scholarship offer? I think a lot of people saw the recruitment growing between IU and between Trey Kaufman, but were you surprised that as he exits his sophomore year, he received a scholarship offer from the program?
No, man, I think I've been coming on your show and talking about Trey since early in his sophomore year. I remember talking to you about him after watching play Jennings County, I think it was the end of November, because he just blew me away with how talented he has become. And I had watched him in July in New York, didn't know who he was, and he really stood out to me then, and talked to him after that, and he hadn't heard from anybody, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, a year from now, this kid's going to have a whole bunch of offers, and that's exactly what's happened. I mean, I think he's a little bit hidden. Indiana knows about him because he's in their backyard in Southern Indiana. Otherwise, he would have a lot more offers. I think Xavier, Indiana have been his last two. But he's a unique skill set. I mean, his handling, passing, and shooting is exceptional for someone who's kind of pushing 6'8" right now.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, is our guest. The Silver Creek team, obviously, with Trey, had, I think, a 2-1 record over the weekend. There were a lot of great competition there, and I want to talk about some of those teams here in just a moment. But a little more about Trey, he's had a scholarship offer from Xavier in the last couple of weeks. He has other offers as well. I'm not sure that I could recite all of them to you right now. You might be able to do a better job at it than me, but he definitely is someone whose recruiting is trending up. When do you think we find out or hear that another Big Ten school or a big competitor of IU offers him a scholarship? Is that sort of activity just around the corner?
I think so. I know Silver Creek's going to compete in the Charlie Hughes event in June and up near the Carmel area. And there might be, I don't know if he's going to the IBCA workout on a weekend before that, but there's going to probably be a couple opportunities in June for college coaches to see Silver Creek play, and I think that'll mean more offers both for him and I think also for his teammate Cooper Jacoby, who's also on a 21 player who I think is an outstanding prospect.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Lots of great teams there. You can speak a little bit more generally to the teams, but obviously some Indiana teams of interest with a lot of targets, both older and younger targets in the state, but also some teams from out of state as well that made for some really good matchups that makes it not only fun for the kids to be there playing in front of IU's coaches and on campus, but the coaches get to play some different matchups and teams that they don't have to worry about ever seeing in Indiana, whether it's regular season or the tournament. But once again, year three, I guess, a really good collection of teams. I'm ultra impressed at what IU staff led by Coach Miller. Obviously, his name is on it the way the NCAA rules require that stuff to be listed. But that team camp has become a real staple of Indiana's recruiting, and it wasn't there before Archie Miller. At least it hadn't been for a number of years.
Yeah, they have teams from Michigan. They have teams from always have teams from Ohio, given Archie's connections there. And I think they'll have some teams from Illinois at the next one, and from other states. So, and they had, not only did they have teams from Indiana, they had the best players: Jalen Washington from Gary West, Blake Wesley from South Bend Riley. Just some tremendous guys were down, and next weekend will be, or this Saturday will be no exception, because they'll have, I think, Christian Lander and Caleb First, Luke Goody, just the who's who of that class in Indiana. I'm talking about the juniors to be.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is my guest, talking a little bit about the team camp. The more I read, Mike, from guys like you and Jeff Rabjohns and others on the Peaks site and other sources that are out there, for maybe a little lack of national-level interest or top 10, top 15, top 20-level players than the 2020 class, guys that are going to be seniors next year, the sophomore class for next year, it might make up, or I guess I want to say the junior class for next year, and really some of those young classes in general might make up for anything that the senior-to-be class lacks right now. They really are developing to be some young players of interest. Trey Kaufman is just one of many names in that 2021 and 2022 classes that very early on you got to stop and say, wow, how good could these classes be if these players continue to develop? And I'm talking about just primarily in-state guys.
Yeah, I think that's making 2020 really important for Indiana, because they need to bridge the gap to the in-state talent. 2020 is not a great class in the state. That happens every few years. And those are the years that Indiana has to spread out a little bit and, you know, find some talent. And that's why I'm going all the way to Virginia tomorrow to see R.J. Davis play, to see some other guys play, why Caleb Love is so important to Indiana, why maybe closing the deal on Matt Cross and some of these other guys is, you know, going to be important for the program build that Archie's in the middle of. But the state of Indiana looks to be, in the younger classes, providing him all the talent he would need to win a Big Ten title if he can bridge the gap where the talent isn't there in the state.
Mike Pegram of Peaks.com is with me. 2020, how does it stack up? I guess now that the All-Star games are over, we can officially say the 2019 class is behind us. Some had been off to college for a test trial already, and others that maybe hadn't been are back on campus, like Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin. They got to go before, broke for the All-Star game. Now they're back on IU's campus for the duration of it. But now that the 2019 class is officially in the books, this 2020 class, it's going to be a class that you mentioned that in-state is solid. It could take some bridging the gap with out-of-state players as well. But maybe the top targets in that class, now that we've talked about Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal at length, we've talked about some out-of-state players as well over the course of the spring. But now that they are next up in the feature class, the guys that are going to be seniors, how do you prioritize these guys from your perspective when you look at where their recruiting is at, where their interest is at as well with the IU program?
I think you have to prioritize ball handling and shooting. Robert Finnessy is their only true ball handler on that team for the foreseeable future. They need help for him, especially if he goes down there, you know, they're up the creek a little bit. And I think with everybody knows that this team doesn't shoot the ball as well as they need to. You'll see how if Jerome Hunter's coming back to help address that, but and whether the other guys improve, but you can't have too many shooters. So I think that those two things are big deals, and that's why R.J. Davis, the guy who can do both of them really good from New York, is a big priority. Why Caleb Love has been all along, because he can play some point, but he also can shoot the ball some and play either guard position depending on who he's out there with. And so that's why Matt Cross, came in for an official visit just over a week ago, and he's a very good shooter for a 6'7" kind of maybe a hybrid four guy who could play maybe in three. He works on his defense. That's why those guys are so important to the program build that we're in the middle of.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest, and again, a lot of the players, a lot of the storylines we talk about with Mike and all the guys from Pigs.com on our site throughout the week. You can read if you're a subscriber of the website at Pigs.com. One thing on the All-Star game, I know we've recapped it. We talked a little bit with Greg in the last segment about the series and about the IU guys. But I tell you, Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin, it's always been, I think, a given that Trace Jackson Davis is going to have some sort of opportunity, and I think it'll be a big one personally to contribute to the IU program as a freshman. We sure weren't saying the same about Armon Franklin when he first committed to Indiana or when his recruitment was beginning to wind down. He was a good get in state, a good player, but a guy that had a lot of work to do if he ever was going to, especially early on in his career, contribute. I feel a lot different about both of those guys, and I guess with each time that I see him play, I didn't get to see the All-Star games, but saw a lot of moments from the games and clips from the games. I tell you what, the more I see, the more I'm not sure that both of them, and also the more I hear when Archie Miller has spoken about both of those guys, whether it be at Huber's or the press conference when their signings became official, but the more I see and hear of those guys, I leave a little bit more impressed and a little bit more thinking each time that their contribution opportunities for next year right out of the gate could be a lot more than what we initially assumed maybe when they first came into the program as commits.
Yeah, I think you're probably addressing a lot to Armon, because with Trace being McDonald's All-America, I think a lot of expectations have been there. But with Armon, he's a very good athlete. People don't realize that. And he's got good length to go along with that, and he improved his jumper. It's a lot of good things he does with height for the two-guard position, and there's a lot to work with him. And, you know, he's just been on an upward track. He's improved later in his high school career than most kids do, and I think he's got a bright future. I think, to me, he has a little bit of a trajectory similar to Robert Fennessy, where he kind of addressed some of the weaknesses in his game the last year of high school, and that will make him have a bigger impact maybe than people project.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Mike, also want to talk for just a moment about the team and the program this summer. Everybody always wants to know, what does the team do in the offseason? And I know that you've helped us go through this in the past, but obviously it won't be long and the full team will be on campus. It won't be long until the IU marketing and social media people are putting out the videos of the players with masks on and in a sand pit and doing all sorts of crazy strength training exercises and different things like that. But the summer months, not only for on-the-court development and individual workouts and small group workouts and even some practices as a whole, but in addition to the off-the-court stuff, is very important, especially for the younger players and the incoming freshmen. What does a typical week in the heart of the off-season, in the middle of the summer, look like for a member of the IU team?
Well, one thing they changed a couple of years ago is allow some individual workouts with coaches, a certain number of guys can come in and work with a team, not maybe any more than four at a time. But other than that, it is a lot of weight training, a lot of stuff with Cliff Marshall, and that's a big deal, especially for the younger guys. And maybe a skinnier guy like Al Durham needs to bulk up as much as possible without losing the coordination and the jumper and all that. I think there's a lot of pickup games where I'd love to be in on and watch. But they keep them private for a reason. A lot of drills and stuff with, Ed Schilling does a lot of that stuff since he's kind of a guru of drills and individual workouts with, but there isn't really 5-on-5 other than the pickup because of the rules. But they have opened up the ability to coaches to work on a limited basis with players in the off season. So that's a combination of all those things. And all these guys are obviously going to take summer classes, so they're going to be involved with school, and summer is accelerated. So even taking just two classes is a pretty hefty workload.
Mike, doesn't it come down to a certain number of hours in the weight room, or however you want to classify the off-the-court stuff with strength conditioning, weightlifting, physical exercises, training, whatever the word might be? Don't they get a certain number of hours for off-the-court stuff and then a certain number of hours for on-the-court stuff, or do you know?
Yeah, and I want to say 4 hours a week, but I don't want to guess at that.
Sounds right.
Yeah, especially the supervised stuff with anybody who's a basketball coach. It's a little bit more flexibility with the strength and conditioning coach versus an assistant coach on the rules. But, yeah, but they can't do anything on their own. I mean, anybody can't limit it, you know, pick up play and things like that.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat and for covering a lot of ground with us. We'll do it next week.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you. Mike Pegram always with us Tuesdays on the show. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up for this Tuesday edition. We'll give you the Summer League schedule for this afternoon and this evening with games starting at 1:30 at New Albany High School and a few other tidbits coming your way next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Tuesday program. Don't forget, we're on every day, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Summer League basketball continues. The Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League on Mondays and Wednesdays is primarily played at Moore High School off of the Outer Loop in Louisville. On Tuesdays and Thursdays in New Albany, New Albany High School, Hazelwood Middle School, the two predominant locations for Tuesday and Thursday action. Today is a big one. The first game starts at 1:30 at New Albany High School. Varsity action begins at 2:30, both at New Albany and at Hazelwood. So you got 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. Seven varsity games in the main gym at New Albany High School. Seven varsity games on the main court at Hazelwood Middle School, and mixed in with all that on other courts, you've got JV, freshman action, just a full day, and admission is only $2. So if you don't have a lot going this afternoon, doors will open soon. You can make your way down for a day of basketball for just $2. I do want to run through the schedule for you in New Albany. If you'd like to see the Bulldogs play, they play varsity games at 2:30 and 3:30. They take on Louisville Eastern at 2:30. They will play Louisville Butler at 3:30. 4:30, you've got Christian Academy of Indiana and taking on Louisville Eastern varsity game. 5:30, Butler takes on Lanesville. 6:30, North Harrison takes on Ballard of Louisville. 7:30, Ballard takes on Christian Academy of Indiana. 8:30, St. X against North Harrison. So a lot of teams getting two games in today. At Hazelwood, the varsity game starting at 2:30. Lanesville and Tell City will play each other. Then at 3:30, Borden and Tell City. At 4:30, Providence and Borden. 5:30, Meade County and New Washington. 6:30, Clarksville and New Washington. 7:30, Meade County and Rock Creek. 8:30, Clarksville and Rock Creek. So a number of varsity games going on. Some really good games, specifically at New Albany High School in the main gym there on a varsity level. So check those out, and action continues Wednesday at Moore High School in Louisville. Action continues Thursday at New Albany High School. Next week, I know Carmel comes down from Indianapolis, the defending 4A state champions, to take on New Albany and Floyd Central. Also next week, Indianapolis North Central, they come down and play a handful of local teams. So you've got some regulars, the locals, the Louisville schools, the Southern Indiana schools, and then occasionally you bring in a team or two from out of the area, which equals some really good games. Also coming in next week is Marshall County, Kentucky, and they have an outstanding player, Zion Harmon, who has been to like five different high schools. This is his fifth school. He was ineligible last season at Marshall County, had to sit out or play JV. I can't remember the circumstances, but he is scheduled. He's highly rated, highly sought after, will be a senior next year. He will be playing, kind of has been a phenom in the state of Kentucky since he was at a young age playing varsity basketball, I think as a seventh grader with the way that their rules are. But he's expected to be at New Albany next week up for a couple days of league play, so we'll keep you posted on that as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Back with you Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.